And when we got through, then I had my dogs. I fixed up a trailer, a four-wheel trailer with boxes on the trailer, and pulled the dogs behind my car with a sled up on top. It's a kind of a wiggly, wheezy affair, but nevertheless, we just got along fine, had a good time going out, and got to California at the fair, and everything worked out fine, but we were starting back, and of course, it was summertime then, or fall, and I wasn't quite sure what I was going to do, and I don't know how it happened, but I was driving up Hollywood Boulevard, and a great big limousine drove up beside of me and had a driver in the front seat and a guy all swallowed up in the back seat. And he stopped. He said, "Mister, where are you going?" Well, traffic was a darn bad. I didn't know where I was going. I was looking for a place to camp. He said, "Mister, where are you going?" I said, "I don't know." I said, "I'm going north." Well, he said, "Where are you going to stop tonight?" I says, "I don't know." Well, he said, "Follow me." He says, "I'll take you to a good place." He says, "I got a place for you to stop." So we dropped in behind him, and he took us into what I believe is the Universal lot, and found us a nice place to camp, and boy, place to live. It was just swell. And so I got to talking to him. He offered me $250, a contract, $250 a week for a year if I would join the movies. He was going to make a movie actor out of me. That's what he's going to do, and my dog's too far as that's concerned. Well, I was thinking the thing over, and I got to thinking, gee, Jack Holt is here someplace in Hollywood. So I asked him, I said, "Say, do you know Jack Holt?" "Well, yes," he said, "he's working right over there on the lot. He's just working now." He said, "Did you know him?" I said, "Yes, I trapped with him in Alaska." Well, he said, "You think you'd know him now?" I said, "I don't know." Well, he said, "You think he'd know you?" I said, "I got no idea." He said, "Come on." He said, "We go see him." Well, he took me over in a kind of a stall affair and right out in front of Jack. Jack was back in on a lot or something. I don't know. They were taking pictures anyhow. And as soon as we come up, he said, "Cut." And they stopped the pictures, and he said, "Hello, Slim." Well, he come out and introduced me to his boss and introduced me to a lot of his friends. Of course, I had a trapper's and woodsman mind. I didn't have a mind to make out who I met. I don't know. But Gladys said one of them was Clark Gable. He brought some of them out and introduced them to Gladys. And Gladys said one of them was Clark Gable, but I don't know who the devil he introduced him to, but a lot of them. And we talked a little while. He said, "Where are you going, Slim?" I said, "I'm going to Fresno." "Why?" He said, "I got a cattle ranch up at old Fort Millerton." And he said, "I'm going up day after tomorrow." He said, "Why can't you come up to the ranch and see me?" Well, old Fort Millerton was where I was born, or right close. And I kind of wanted to see that, too, so I told him I'd come up. Well, I went up and seen him. And the first night there, while we stayed up till breakfast was about ready, running our old trap lines and keeping the fire going on the lean-to at 40 below, and we just had a swell time and talking things over. Went for a swim in the river, and boy, we had a swell time. And again, he was way ahead of me. He had a young Jack Holt, a little younger than Jack was when I knew him, but the same clean-cut, fine-looking kid that Jack was. You know, Jack was an engineer, a little older than I. Somehow I seem to always get a hold of, in touch with fellows that is 3 or 4 years older than I. Well, Jack was a engineer, and... But he had this boy that looked just exactly like Jack used to, and the prettiest little daughter I ever seen, about 15, 16. His son, I think, was 17 or 18. But he told me about how he come to get in the movies, that he just decided that Hollywood would be a good place to sell his fur, so he took him there. And not wanting to spend his money and being an engineer, he got a job. Uh, laying some pipe. And he said before he got his pipe laid, why, they come to him and wanted him to try out on the movies, which he did, and that's where he went from that on. Now about them other fellas serviced in London and Beach, I didn't know him, really. I met Beach when he was riding the Iron Trail, but that was about all. But you know, them fellas wasn't known then. Now, service at that time had done a little poetry, wrote a little, but not much. So they just really wasn't known to mount anything. There was a people that had made the big stake and all of that was the ones that really knew, really was known around the country. Now, as far as what Dawson was like when I got there, of course, it was a boom town. There must have been, now you see, it was 98 and 19-1 when I got there, and then it was struck before that, of course, and there was some cabins there. But when I got there in 19-1 late, why, it was a quite a boom town. I don't know how many was there. I'd say maybe 3,000 or 4,000. Of course, it run up to, I think, around 20,000, maybe more at one time. Now, Fairbanks was, of course, a new town. It was just a few cabins there. They was building a little. And a few just small buildings, no big ones. The biggest one, of course, was a dance hall and gambling place. And it was just made of rough boards. And I think that was whipsawed lumber. Now, I'm not sure. I don't know whether you ever seen any of it whipsaw or not. But they got a saw about 7 feet long. It's made just like a rip saw is made, with teeth all one way. And you roll your log up on a frame about 7 feet high. It depends on a man's height. Then one man gets, they strike a line down the log where they want to saw. And in fact, they'll strike lines clear across the log. If they want to make inch lumber, well, they strike inch lines and just strike a line the length of the log or whatever they want to make. And then they follow that with their saw. One man on the bottom and one man on the top. It's a devil of a job, but two men can knock out about 200 feet of lumber a day. And I believe the building they had there was whipsawed lumber because there was no mill. But it was just a town just started. I don't think there's over a half a dozen log cabins built, some of them being built. And that's the way those boomstowns started. Nome was just about the same. Only I don't think there was over 500 or 600 men in either Nome or Fairbanks. And they both got to be old, maybe 20,000 towns. But they would just started. And when a town first started, everything comes in. First, of course, it's a saloon and then a dance hall and then a grocery store. And that's how they start, as quick as they can get their stuff in. But it seems like the first thing to get in is a barrel of whiskey, and a gambling table, of course, and really get into business. Now, as far as Sam McGee was concerned, I knew him. I met him in Dawson. Of course, his cabin was in Whitehorse, but I met him in Dawson and just got acquainted with him. He wasn't any celebrity or anything, but just an accident I met him, I guess. And he was from Tennessee, and was just about what service describes him in the... He was always kicking. Everything was wrong. Of course, he made a lot of money there and got out with a good stake. Then in 39, I see him again in Whitehorse. Of course, he's quite an old man there. I don't know whether he's living yet or not, but I think he is. And I haven't heard, at least, that he was dead. But he lived in the Okanagan Valley in Washington State. He had an apple orchard there. So I knew him pretty well. But, of course, I knew White Horse Bill. You knew him because he was, just made lots of noise. When he'd come to town, everybody knew it because he would maybe come. come in with a poke of nuggets and untie this string and scatter them on the dance hall floor to watch the girls scramble for them. And that was why everybody knew him. Now, about the love life in Alaska, that was, all kinds of girls come up there, and some of them awfully nice girls, but just kind of got into the business. Now, they had girls that they had one girl they called Dolly the Virgin, and everybody swears that she's absolutely virgin as far as they're concerned. But they made lots of money. She made lots of money because everybody was always trying. But there was girls, of course, that just come in strictly for business. They was a typical dance hall girl, typical girl just out strictly for money. Most of them had a man that had helping them along and coaching them, of course. Well, there was all kinds of men, too. Now, there'd be some men, not altogether young men. I've seen men that had almost tottery come in with a poke of several thousand dollars and spend it in just two or three nights raising cane on some girl and think, by gee, they was going to win her in spite of the devil. But they'd spend all their money and then go back after some more, of course. That was typical. But a lot of them got married. A lot of them got married and made awful good wives. I know some of them yet. And they made some marvelous wives. It is nothing uncommon for a fella going out prospecting to take a girl with him. We used to think, you know, that women had no business in Alaska at all. But it's altogether wrong. Women take to that country same as men, and like adventure just as much and like the outdoors just as much. We found that out lately, because today you'll go on way out someplace on a trap line or prospecting and really run into the height of culture. Really cultured girls than women. Now, I've known women to be out with men like that and make a strike. Some of them saved it, most of them didn't. Most of them was women and men that would go to town and blow it in since they get it, and when the claim was gone, well, they was broke just the same. But you find them in all kinds of places. Some of them even resorted to Lovelorn magazine and would write out and get them a woman. At the roadhouses, why, a man would have a roadhouse, and he would be lonesome, and maybe a woman would come along the trail, and he'd stop her and go to work for him, and there they'd be, and they'd get to be partnered and maybe get married. And maybe a woman would have a road out, and some man come along, she'd want help. She'd stop him, and there they'd be. That was quite common. Another thing was quite common, going in from the coast to, say, Fairbanks. Well, you would see a couple going in, maybe neck him. Maybe they'd have a horse. Maybe they'd have a couple of dogs, you can tell what. But it was a pretty good gamble whether that woman would last if she got to Fairbanks or not. Going along the trail, he didn't know anything about it. And there was lots of men along the trail that knew all about it. They was right up on the ball, ready to go, ready to help, ready to do anything. And about 10 to 1, they'd lose his wife before he got in.